Bro. What's up, dude?
Why is it on Christmas the shit tit of everyone just comes out?
I know. I know.
We were supposed to start this podcast like at what, 12:30 we agreed?
Yeah.
And I got here at 1, okay? And let me explain to you why I'm late. All right. So first up, I have to go do my Christmas shopping because I wanted to get everything up to my last paycheck so I can get my family something nice.
Yeah.
I go to the DFO. There is a line outside the DFO. It is packed, okay? So I'm looking around for car spots. I see a car spot. Coming right down towards me is another car. In that car is a mother with 4 kids. And I indicate first for that car.
Yeah.
Already waiting for it to pull out. You know what that mother does? She tells her kid to get out and go and run.
Stand in it.
Stand in the spot. The kid was like 5 years old. And I just like, what the fuck? Kid?
And you're like, it's Christmas. I don't think I'm going to run over a 5-year-old anytime soon.
No, I hit the gas and just smashed him.
Oh.
I'm just kidding. No, but I was just so mad. I'm like,
yeah.
I'm just in shock. I'm like looking at the woman. I'm like, are you serious? And then she starts swearing at me, telling me to fuck off. And then I just don't start moving. And I just actually, you know what? I actually slowly drive up to the kid because it's not the kid's fault, but I have a feeling he's just going to step out of the way. And then
just pull it. Do you just pull the handbrake out? And it's you just wait. Just wait.
Yeah, and then get all that. All the other kids come out and stand out in front of the car.
She's got her own private army.
Yeah, I know. I'm just like, fuck this.
That's what happens.
I'm just like, fuck this. So I drive out and then fucking find another. It takes me another 10 minutes to find a parking spot. Go into the DFO and, you know, I'm already like set on what I want to get my family. They've told me what they want to get. By the way, I love it when people tell me what they want for Christmas or for their birthday.
So I dozed off for a second. I was thinking, not dozed off. I was thinking like what you could have done. You just get like the water gun out and you just go. And they all fuck up. They all fuck off. It's like, you know what I mean? It's like when they have the protesters and that and they just spray water at them. You should have just opened up the fucking fire hydrant. Just fucking shoots them off. And then you're like. Because it's not like you can touch them or anything like that. That you can't do that. Oh. They've got to make the move on their own accord. Just get a hose. Just go.
Yeah.
Just get a hose in front of them.
Or just like throw a couple of candy bars and make them run or something.
Nah, probably.
Want a treat? Want a treat?
I wouldn't be throwing candy around kids, mate. I'd be just water gun.
Water gun.
Just get the fuck out.
I should have got myself a water gun then. Anyway, so I'm in the DFO. Mm-hmm. I'm going around getting everything on. And then I have to go get one more thing from a store. And then there's a woman in the line. And she is having the biggest rip at this small little Asian girl just standing behind the counter, and she just will not take no for an answer. I don't know what the full situation was. I was overhearing it, but I'm assuming it had something to do with the item of clothing. Maybe she didn't have her size or something like that. And then she was yelling out, "What do you mean it's not in the system? I called up and they said you have one here." And I'm just like, "Oh my god!" And get this, I know she was a real Karen because she was wearing a mask as well. Mm. And then she's like one of the only people wearing a mask. So then there's. And then there's me. I'm just like trying to be polite, and I'm just saying, "Ma'am," and I just put on a tap on the shoulder, "Ma'am, I believe you're holding up the line. Is it okay if I can just go ahead of you while she and then go to the next one while she sets the system?" And she goes, "No, don't be ridiculous and all that. How dare you? And she keeps saying, "How dare you? I am disgusting you." I'm like,
well, I'm disgusted.
And then I'm just like, "Well, can I go forward?" And she just doesn't give me a yes or a no. She's like, "How dare you?" It's like she's like Greta Thunberg, all grown up. You know what I mean? God. Just how dare you? I'm just, oh
my god. Christmas Eve is a funny time because I still have to get the final pieces.
Yeah.
For Christmas shopping, fuck, it's unreal. Because you go in there, it's busy as nobody knows how to walk in a straight line. They're all knocking about, hitting each other, and then when you go in there, it's like all these big sales like Black Friday, Christmas Eve. It's insane.
Yeah.
So it's insane. And they start to lose a little bit of, you know, they start to just act so out of character. And I think it's also in Australia because around Christmas time, the heat cooks people's brains. Oh, it really does cook people's brains because driving now alone is insane because everyone in the holiday period is coming out to Christmas Eve. They're all rushing, you know, they've just finished work. They need to rush and go get presents because they've left it late. And then the heat just cooks their brain. And then they do the stupidest shit ever. They do the stupidest shit out there. It's mad how much shit just goes by, and they will berate. And these people in retail, Christmas is a fucking hard time for retail people. Yeah, for sure.
Well, it's because a lot of the stores, they make like a massive amount of the budget. You know, each store has is like a target man wants to make a day.
Yeah.
It smashes through that when it comes to Christmas.
Mm-hmm.
When it comes to Christmas, I'm pretty sure someone told me like half of the store's actual sales come on just Christmas alone.
Mm.
And you know what some stores like have oversell, what they do is they call in next year's stock so they can get that out of the way real quick because they know that there's that winter period when no one buys anything.
Mm.
So, and I've worked in retail myself. I worked on a Boxing Day once and I was like, never again.
Some of those public holidays are pretty crazy.
Oh, pretty crazy. Oh, man.
Well, Boxing Day would probably be worse because they're trying to exchange all their gifts and they're like, sorry, we can't exchange that, or would you take a store credit? Store credit? What the fuck are you talking about?
That's exactly why I say to people, you tell me what you get, what you want for your Christmas, sorry, what you want for Christmas, or you don't get anything because I know your ass will try and return it or exchange it. And if you get exactly what they ask for, they have no feet to stand on.
I mean, I've got a different mentality in that I don't like when people ask me, oh, what would you like for Christmas? I'm never going to tell you because I don't know myself either, right? I don't know. And I would also feel weird saying, get me a skateboard, get me a new car. Like, they're not really realistic, but it would just feel weird to ask someone specifically a gift and then for them to be like, shoo, go get it for me. Yeah, go get it for me.
I'm exactly like that.
I see, the thing is, I don't like that because if anyone gives me a present, I'll be like, okay, yeah, a lot of the time people get good gifts. I don't tend to get bad gifts.
Yeah.
I don't think there's really that such a thing as there probably is. There's probably a lot of bad gifts. I think if someone wraps like a Vegemite sandwich to you and they go, have a great day, and you're like, thanks.
Well, I ask for simple things for Christmas.
Yeah.
Like socks, jocks.
I always get those. Never ask for them. Always get undies.
And I'm happy. As an adult, when I get that kind of shit, I'm really happy.
Mm.
I love it when I get that because, you know, you just appreciate the little things in life, you know what I mean? It's those things I need every day. I don't really, because as a kid, you know, we all want toys or we all want a new bike or a new train set or whatever. But when you're an adult, you actually get stuff like, you know, you need for every day. Mm. You know what else I'm actually happy to get? Lynx packs.
Oh, really?
It's a meme, but if someone gets me a Lynx pack, I'm like, yep, I'm happy. Because I train like almost twice a day or take a shower. I'm always sweating. So I go through Lynx like it's water, man. So I got to be like all constantly washing myself, keeping myself clean and all that. So I go through Lynx deodorant cans pretty fast.
I'm probably going to sound hypocritical, but this is like the first time this year is the only time I've really specifically asked for something.
Yeah.
And the thing I asked for was, can I get some AirPods Pro? I know they've got me some AirPods Pro.
AirPods,
because I had some.
Are you trying to flex on me?
I went the cheaper route. I got the ones off like Catch of the Day, some little cheapy ones. Somebody ganked them at the gym. Someone took them from the gym. I was at the leg press, and I remember I put them down because as soon as you're elevated, that was probably a really nice shot, actually.
At my gym?
No. A different gym over in where I live.
Oh, okay.
And just because your legs are elevated, a lot of the shit falls out of your pockets if you're wearing shorts. So I put everything down and I forgot it. But I came back, had a look, gone. Someone had taken the, and they weren't in lost property or anything like that. I had a look, someone had taken them and they got a free set of wireless headphones. So now I was like, when I go to the gym, I don't have any wired headphones or anything like that, so I've got to like try and like listen to what I'm listening to during rest breaks while the music is going. So now I was like, fuck, I really need some wireless headphones. So I want some AirPods Pro because they're pros. They don't fall out of ears because they do a bit more running and like skipping and that.
Mm-hmm.
And apparently they're good for sweat because I sweat like I'm sweating right now. I sweat like a motherfucker.
Yeah, that's something I heard. Obviously, I don't wear earphones because my cochlear's always got to wear like actual headphones and stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
So like, I have to get sweat covers for my headphones because you know, my the ear section, you know, the little soft foam section of the headphones, absolutely blown out. Anyway, man, I am dying to talk about this right now because it has been on my mind and I've been sending you memes about it all week.
Oh, yeah.
The Mandalorian season finale of season two.
Mm.
Beautiful.
I thought it was really good. I mean, you watched it before me and then I went and watched it and I was like sitting there in bed going, what the fuck?
Yeah.
For the finale, oh, that came out weird, the finale. And we had Luke Skywalker. It was their CGI kind of face swap thing that they'd done. I thought the actor that had been playing, and we obviously don't see his face because he's face swapped with a younger Mark Hamill's face. But what they were able to do with the special effects, looking back at it now, I thought it was pretty good.
Yeah. Well, I thought they were going to get a stunt double to play as Luke Skywalker.
I know some people had said Sebastian Stan because he looks quite similar to Mark Hamill when he was younger. However, I think they still wanted to keep it as Mark Hamill. And then just employ some special effects because they've done that with Princess Leia.
Yeah,
They did that in the last Star Wars movie where they did it with Leia and Luke when they're doing a training scene when they're a bit younger. I thought it was really, really fucking cool. As soon as you see that X-Wing that comes in, you're like, oh, fuck, it's Luke.
Yeah.
It's Luke. And I thought the music was really good. Like, the soundtrack, it was very ominous. I love seeing all the little details, like Grogu's ear pops up.
Yeah.
It's obviously the Force. You see the green lightsaber. You see the black hands. You obviously know it's Luke.
Yeah.
You see Moff Gideon look scared shitless because he knows exactly who it is.
Yeah.
I thought that was really, really cool. And he takes away Grogu and fuck, it's cool.
I remember I saw this thing after. I remember seeing two things afterwards where there was this photo of J.J. Abrams and he's saying, oh, it's impossible to please the younger generation while appealing to the old Star Wars fans. And then it's the director of The Mandalorian just going, hold my beer, fam.
Because I believe it's Dave Filoni and Jon Favreau that are working together and a few other people that
there were a lot of directors
that take separate episodes and that's their episode. Same as like, I think even in other sci-fi, there's like Doctor Who, that writer gets one episode and that's their little baby to make as good as possible. I think these guys are genuine fans. Yeah. These guys are genuine Star Wars fans rather than these previous directors like J.J. Abrams. And each one of those new trilogy movies, you know, with Rey and Poe and all that, it's so out of whack with the successive movie, whereas Mandalorian's episodes seem to go like that, rather than doing these big weird gaps in time and a lot of the writing doesn't actually fit together. Whereas I like when the series is woven together quite well and they've employed a lot of really cool stuff from, they've taken it from different spots. They've taken some stuff from Rebels, they've taken some stuff from the Clone Wars, they've taken something from the prequels, but they've taken something from the originals, which was Luke. Yeah. I think they've pieced a little bit of everything from different places and put it together.
The reason why I like it is because it doesn't end on a cliffhanger.
Yeah, it's a minor cliffhanger just because you don't know what's going to happen.
But it's not like a dramatic cliffhanger like where you're like... You know, it leaves you at the end of that season feeling very satisfied. And then, what is it? Did you know that Mark Hamill put out a tweet on
I saw it.
Have you guys seen anything good on TV lately?
I like Mark Hamill. You know, he's a really nice guy.
I'm so glad that he approved as well because Mark Hamill hated the last
week. You could tell.
Yeah, you could tell. I mean, I remember someone showing me these clips of Mark doing these interviews and he was reading the actual script and he was saying, oh, when I read the script, I was like, wow, why did they do that? Why did he knew deep down, like, what the fuck did you do to Luke? And then what happened was apparently Disney told him to shut up.
Yeah.
Yeah, they told him to shut up, stop doing interviews, you're going to kill the film. Because they knew that it was going to cause a lot of conflict because, I mean, Mark Hamill, he's not done a lot of acting roles, but he will forever be known as like one of the most iconic characters in movie history.
And it's not like he's not a good actor. He's certainly a really, really good voice actor, which is why the young Skywalker role suits him quite well.
It does.
Now, I don't know if it was Mark Hamill that was doing the voicing or if they'd actually done some editing themselves. It could have been Mark saying the words, and then they edit it to make him sound young. They can take different points and actually edit it so that the words that Mark says are him saying it in the current, in what without whatever script they give him, but then edit it to sound like a young Luke Skywalker.
Yeah. Well, I mean, pardon me. It was also what the episode set up in general, like the whole Darksaber thing. I was like, oh, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
There was two things I noticed that was a little bit strange. Was the first one, why Boba Fett just fucked off.
Oh yeah, but I like. Did you? Yeah, I didn't know there was an end credit scene.
Yeah,
and I saw it on YouTube, and I went, "There's an end credit scene." So I opened it, and I was like, "Oh, what the fuck?"
Yeah. Well, I was like, why did Boba Fett just fuck off when he like could have helped him, because he's like one of the best bounty hunters in the galaxy? And then when Luke shows up, I was like, "Oh, so that's why." Because imagine if Boba and Luke saw each other again, they'd just start going at each other, because Boba like was trying to kill Luke and all that. And then Han Solo, was it Han Solo who was the one who destroyed his jetpack and sent him flying in?
By accident.
Yeah,
by accident.
And then that was the first thing. And the second thing was the concept behind the Darksaber, because we don't know how Bo-Katan lost the Darksaber.
We know that Moff Gideon took it from her.
Yeah.
Which means either he stole it or he won it in combat, which made it rightfully his.
Yeah.
Now, I thought it was interesting that Moff knew all these intricate details, which makes it seem like he's got some spies. But Moff Gideon said, well, actually, the sword isn't, well, the Darksaber isn't particularly different from any other lightsaber.
Yeah.
It's the story behind it, if you have this, you are the ruler of Mandalore. Yeah. If she does not win it rightfully, then she cannot call herself that. And she herself knows that, because she carries some form of code of honor or dignity behind that lore of the Mandalore, and how they have to win that saber in combat in order to be worthy of it.
Well, that's why I like it, because it kind of sets up the next season a little bit.
Yeah, it sets it up taking over Mandalore again.
Yeah.
But there's a bit of inner conflict where Mando's got to look over his shoulder.
Exactly, because you got his real name's Din Djarin or something like that.
Mm.
His group of Mandalorians are like a special cult of Mandalorians, you get what I mean? They're the very super secret ways, very traditional Mandalorians. And then a lot of them went into hiding at the end of season one, and then you got Bo-Katan's style of Mandalorian. She's like something, they're like a different...
Well, Bo-Katan used to be part of Death Watch.
Yeah, yeah.
Then there was a bit of civil war going on. Yeah. She'd left Death Watch.
Yeah.
And instead of joining the other Mandalorians, she made her own clan, which was the Night Owls.
So I think it's going to be like a battle between our Mandalorian and his group versus Bo-Katan and her group.
It'll be interesting for how he has to decide who he sticks with.
Exactly.
Because he doesn't really have a choice if Bo-Katan betrays him and says, look, I need that saber and I'll go through you to get it.
Exactly.
And also the people who are a bit more extreme, but the ones that saved him as a child. It gets a bit more interesting, because we don't even know who was the person that specifically saved him. Yeah. So it's very interesting. Season 3 looks very, very good. And I think they've made it clear that they're probably not going to stop at a season 3. They're probably going to go for a 4, 5, 6, 7. As long as it stays
consistent,
relevant, doesn't... It stays on the same track.
Yeah.
Because it's very good.
It's like they got a baseline. We know what the Star Wars universe is. We know what the planets are, the characters, the things like that. But make your own out of the formula. You know what I mean? Death Troopers. Never even knew they existed.
They used to be in the games.
Really?
They used to be in... That's why I'm saying it's cool that they're taking different... But that's from an old game. And there was the Gen 1, the Gen 2, and the Gen 3. Now, the Gen 1 and Gen 2 had Star Wars versions of humans in it. And then, obviously, in Gen 3, which is the ones we saw in Mandalorian Season 2, had no human. It was all droid.
Yeah.
So, that's what I'm saying. Dave Dave Filoni and Jon Favreau are taking little bits from different parts of Star Wars, really old games. They're fucking old games, right?
They're true fans.
They are true fans.
I didn't know about that. I thought they made them up on the spot when they...
No, they took it. It used to be an actual thing, but it was not a canon kind of thing. It wasn't a lot in canon stuff or any like comics. It was the old games.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, now it begs the question, man. So Grogu's gone with Luke Skywalker, right? So where was Grogu between, and what was he doing between this point in The Mandalorian and Episode 7?
Yeah, because...
The thing is, the species ages so slowly.
But we don't know if there's any... I actually did some research on that because it was said that, you know, Yoda became a master at a young age close to... what Grogu was. I think Grogu, is he 50 or 70? He's around 50 or something like that.
He survived the purge.
Yeah, but Yoda...
eating eggs in the kitchen.
Yeah, Yoda became a master at like 100 or something like that, 98 or something like that. And then he was a master for I don't know, 500 years or something like that. A lot of people were begging the question, because we don't know much about Yoda, is there some type of really... long development for 50 years and then rapid development and then in a big long trip like that. So we don't know if when we see Grogu again, he'll be a teenager or something like that. If there's a bit of rapid development and then it plateaus, and rapid development then plateaus, you know what I mean? It does make it a bit weird because Luke goes to make his own, school for his pupils, right? But that is later down the line. That's past The Mandalorian. That's closer to the Episode 7. Right now in The Mandalorian, that's the time where Luke is on a quest for knowledge and going around, and perhaps Grogu is learning things because he's going with Luke. But a lot of people are questioning, well, if Grogu is the pupil of Luke and Luke had a temple that Kylo went and burnt down and killed a few of them and took some of his other pupils, what happened to Grogu? Was Grogu killed or did he get away? We know Grogu in The Mandalorian, he was able to force push like an inferno back, which meant hypothetically he could be okay, or maybe he's graduated from that school and he's gone off somewhere in hiding. We don't know. That's what makes it very interesting for the Star Wars universe, because I want to ask you, do you think that we know that the Mandalore was the first Mandalorian Jedi? I think a lot of people have been thinking, well, Grogu raised by a Jedi and a Mandalorian, could he possibly become the first Mandalorian Jedi? The second Mandalorian Jedi, sorry.
Who was the first?
Mandalore. He changed his name to Mandalore. Mandalore the Great.
Oh.
He had a different name. He was a Mandalorian that went to the Jedi Temple, became a Mandalorian Jedi.
Did not know that.
Yeah, that's why he was given the Dark Saber. Oh. And that's why the Dark Saber also has a different... It's a different type of lightsaber. Yeah,
you said, I remember you telling me...
So it's a thin blade.
It transmits the light, but it pulls the Dark Saber absorbs light like a black hole.
Yeah, and it's... I think it's still considered a lightsaber. However, it's different in how it looks because it... Everything around it, you can see it gets... It's the like light same. Gets pulled in, whereas lightsabers always brightened up.
Yeah, same mummy, different daddy.
Yeah, exactly.
That's what I'm trying to say.
And it's not like a cylindrical weapon. It's like a blade.
Yeah.
We saw that when Moff Gideon was slicing Mando and he would twist the blade and it'd be a very thin line because it's on its lateral edge, and then when he would twist it, it's like very... I think it's cool also the hilt. It looks very cool because I was doing a lot of research into it, because this is a long time until it's, I think around this time next year when season 3 is confirmed to come out. So we've got a lot of time to dive into like all the Star Wars stuff. What do you think that's going to happen? And I always go down the rabbit hole. It was interesting that Bo-Katan was in a pickle because she wanted to defeat Moff herself to get the Darksaber. However, when we have a look back how Bo-Katan got it because they just found it. They found her. I believe they found her on Mandalore, and it was, and then they just gave it to Bo-Katan. She didn't beat anyone for it, but she took it, right? And she was just given it because perhaps there was no one to, you know, there was no rightful owner, so she claimed herself the rightful owner. But because maybe she was beat by Moth, she had to beat Moth in order to get it. Now that, it's kind of like the Elder Wand from Harry Potter.
Yeah.
Like that person, you're not the rightful owner, except in Harry Potter, there's actual, like, if you're the rightful owner, you can actually use it to its full capability. There's nothing different about the blade. It's the story behind it and who's going to actually bend the knee and be like, you can rule the Mandalore. It's very interesting. It's a long time to wait because they've done such a good job at piquing our interest in the Mandalorian. I saw a lot of reaction videos of all the parents and grandparents that were big Star Wars fans, and they're watching the finale going, no fucking way.
Yeah.
No fucking way. It's cool. I like that they've done that. They brought the kids out of out of the adults.
Yeah, they really connected the two. Man, though, I mean, it saved Star Wars in a way. You know, a lot of people were up in pieces. A lot of people were up in pieces after the last trilogy because of the change of directors, and we don't need to go into how bad one of those movies was. We know which one it was.
All of them. Yeah. All three. Well, I didn't like any
seven,
of them.
Okay. Eight, what the fuck was that? Nine, Damage Control.
Damage Control, but
it didn't stick the landing.
When you look back at it, there's so much, like, the power levels are so huge, how the Emperor just goes butt, and he also lifts all of those Star Destroyers, right? And if Rey beats him, does that mean that Rey can do... It gets way too weird with how much... Like, there's like... Wasn't there hundreds or thousands of Star Destroyers, right? That had the planet killer... They just went so OP that it was like... Yeah. It didn't really have any... I hate when movies make it so unrealistically OP in their, like, fighter power... And then you beat them in a simple way. Like, she just went, pacha! And then, and then two lightsabers are better than one. Bam!
Yeah.
It was so weird. And then they also brought in, if you strike me down, I will become part of you. And that, whereas that had never been thought of before. It was more like you just give into your hate and you just become the next Sith. But then Rey beats him. How does Rey not... If Rey kills Palpatine,
it's just confusing.
There's so many plot holes, and it was so poorly written. Yeah. All three of them being poorly written.
First one wasn't bad. Seven wasn't bad. Okay, seven wasn't bad.
Yeah.
Just
I was about
to set it up. Yeah. The biggest issue they made was switching directors for the eight. They threw out the script completely.
He threw the lightsaber. Or what?
Yeah, that was just pure Disney. You know, but moving on, man, like... Star Wars, you just got revived, you know. I mean, Disney Plus got saved, had fuck all views, and then season two came around. All of a sudden, everyone just resubscribed to Disney.
That's exactly what I did.
Anyway, I wanted to ask you something. Did you watch the Andrew Schultz Netflix special?
I didn't. I have seen it up, and I know Stylebender was doing a lot of stuff, or Israel Adesanya, he was putting a lot of stuff up for Andrew Schultz. You should watch this. Yeah. This comedy special, I have not seen it yet. Have you?
It is beautiful. I've watched the first three. I think there's four episodes. I watched three of them. Mm. It is phenomenal stuff.
Oh, really?
And as a comedian, I'm not a comedian, but someone who's done open mic nights and understands how hard it is to write jokes, the rate and pace of that man and his work ethic towards comedy is insane. It's literally almost a joke in every sentence. There's literally times where I'm just like laughing because I get the next joke and I get the next joke and it just hits. And the way that he constantly hits these jokes is so good. And the amount of hours that he put into it. I think he was on the Joe Rogan podcast. And he says at one point he was putting 100 hours a week and he just would not sleep.
It's almost poetic how they can weave joke after joke that sets up to another joke and another joke. And it almost doesn't give you time to recover, and then you're laughing again, and instead of just laughing at one joke, you're laughing at three altogether because they've woven it in. It's like poetry. They've used English language so well
yeah.
to just one of the greatest things, just to make someone laugh.
Yeah, and he just kills it. He absolutely kills it. Like, it was, I mean, he really backs up what he says as well. He said he had to go through all these hours of fact checking and making sure everything was right. And then he had to go for all these visuals. And guess what? The people that he had on his team weren't even professionals. He says the guy who did all these visuals, he had to learn how to do everything off YouTube. Yeah, the guy who he'd help write his jokes was the guy on the podcast that he does. And then he had one guy who did the lighting. He'd never done anything like that before. It was just his buddy. So it was just one guy as a comedian and just got, dudes just helping him, and they just have the most insane work ethic, even though they have no background or skill. Mm-hmm. They were just, he just basically was saying, look, I found these guys, and I says, look, man, if you want to go on this road, we're going to fucking bust our ass. We're going to probably not make any money for a bit, but we're going to fucking work our ass off, and when it's done, we're going to make a lot of money. And then he did it, and they're like 16-minute episodes, but it's like 16 minutes of just rapid-fire joke after joke after joke, and it had me balling over, man. There were some moments where I was just absolutely piercing myself. It was.
I've got to watch it now.
Yeah, it's brilliant.
Because you sold it for me now.
Andrew Schultz does not give a fuck.
No,
he does not give a fuck.
I know he's funny. I love watching his one-off. He, instead of releasing one on Netflix, because I think he had a thing against Netflix for a bit. Yeah, he said Netflix is dying. Netflix is gonna go. So he ended up just posting. I think it was a year ago. Was it early this year or last year, he posted a YouTube comedy special.
Yes.
And I watched that one. I liked that one. It almost didn't have a lot of... See, I know he went on the Joe Rogan Experience in order to advertise it and bump up a little bit of production value for his newest comedy special, but it didn't get that much advertisement, I'm not going to lie.
Yeah.
It just seemed like, boom, it's dropping. There's no... There was no lead up. There's no build up. It was just like, boom, just released it. Go enjoy.
Yeah, he just chucks them all up on YouTube, really. He didn't even have to, because apparently what he did was, it was just after Dave Chappelle released his Netflix special. He was just like, oh, he's in the back room. He's like, oh, Dave Chappelle releasing the Netflix special. Just goes, fuck it, and just records like 30 minutes of him just doing crowd work. And it's really, really good crowd work as well. But one thing he does really, really well is that he talked about in his TED talk is that people love just short clips. People just love short clips. So he just put up one joke on YouTube and then it will lead to another suggested video. Like, he tapped into the algorithm in a way.
Yeah.
So it was just one joke, one clip after the next, after the next, after the next, which is really smart.
Yes.
Rather than you just get the best bits, and if you don't like it, you can just go to the next one. Rather than if you release a whole set and there's only certain jokes that you like, but you have to skip through.
You lose them halfway.
Exactly, yeah. Correct. So that's why he's got his system now down really well, and he's taken advantage of a time when, you know, not really much Netflix comedy specials were coming out.
And there's not that much stuff being released on Netflix or any streaming services in general. I've gone back and watched like old James Bond movies and things like that because they're not really releasing new shit, you know? I know that they brought out Wonder Woman 1984. I'm not interested in it. I'm not. It just, I know it's against, there's a little bit of an origin story with, I believe it's Cheetah.
Yeah.
I don't get it. And they've dropped, and what they showed in, I believe it was a Batman and Superman, was that her kind of love interest in the original Wonder Woman died, you know, the fighter pilot, he died. And then in the trailer they're showing, it just pops up, he's alive. And I know I've obviously got to watch it in order to understand and things like that. It just doesn't get me interested.
Doesn't make sense because, well, first of all, why kill him? Why kill him off in the first place to mention him? And clearly he's going to have to die again because he's not alive in the future, you know? But the other thing is, like...
Or he could be very old.
Yeah.
Could be very old.
What's it called? It's a long movie as well. That's what I've heard. It's 2.5 hours long.
Yes.
Yeah, I've heard two things. It's a long movie and it's not as good as the first one. There's just a lot of... my mate who works, or a client who I train, he works in the cinema. They just say, oh, there's just points where they just have points in it where it's just drawn out, and it's just so much just drawn out, and it can just be reduced by just cutting out things. So, I mean, after at the end of the day, DC, I think it's just trying to wipe away, be done with the Justice League, and then just reset after the Zack Snyder Cut, because now the Zack Snyder Cut's coming out next year on HBO Max. A lot of stuff is going out on that HBO Max.
I know they are, because if they're going to bring out Justice League, they want to bring out other things on HBO Max at the same time to retain some of the audience, but it's such a long time for that Snyder Cut to come out. We've been talking about it for so long. Yeah. And it takes a... I know, obviously, they've got to run through a lot of archived footage. They've got to make it an actual full final production piece. Then they've got to release it in four different installments at four different times. I know there's a lot of things to... and there's probably a bit of like voice acting and things like that that a lot of the past cast are going to have to redo again. It just takes so long. And I feel like a couple months ago, I was really keen for it, and now I'm like, just fucking release it already.
Yeah, just fucking release it.
Because it's been so drawn out now. I believe it's coming out in later next year?
Yeah.
That's a long period of time to wait. It's a lot of stagnation.
Well, there's a lot of good stuff coming out next year, you know?
Right now, the I would say this year there was hardly any good movies.
Yeah, I feel like everyone's just kind of... Yeah. I agree.
Very difficult to go to the cinemas.
I feel like everyone's just waiting for 2020. I feel like everyone just wants to be done with this whole 2020 thing because of this coronavirus. Now, in Sydney, there's a cluster going on. Did you hear about that?
I didn't know about that.
So what I was told was apparently there was a taxi driver who had COVID and gave it to all, and he did a whole weekend's worth of work, and he gave it to all the passengers. And now they've also like spread it around.
Oh God.
Which kind of sucks because he had a mobile COVID mobile, and now he's just giving it to everyone apparently. And then I think didn't WA close the border again? We shut the border.
They opened it then closed it. I don't know why they did that. I know there's a lot of pressure for them to open up the border, but you could just say, you know, look, it's just not sorted yet. It's just not sorted. It's a difficult part where you're looking after people's health, but you also want to look after their health by allowing them to go back to their regular life and make the income they did before so that they can put food on the table for their family. It gets difficult, you know. It does get a very difficult decision because you don't want to kill the economy, but you also don't want to needlessly put people in harm's way, especially the aging population and some people that have issues with their immune system and things like that. But fuck. It is a difficult situation, and I know Australia is very far along. I think they really do need to fix individually the states and then start to slowly open the border. And not just open the border, and it's just like, anyone can come in. Boom. Yeah. Go for it. Yeah, I think they should, when they open the border, it should be like there's a phase one of border opening, phase two of border open, phase four, and then it goes back to regular. It will be better with this vaccine. However, I believe there's a new strain of COVID in Australia.
Oh, well, that's not what... Oh, really? Mm. Well, when you said about the phases, that's exactly how WA got out of lockdown.
If you're going to get out of lockdown by doing phases, I think you should also do border control in phases, right?
Mark McGowan should just become Prime Minister. I mean,
he's been doing some good shit. He's been doing some good stuff.
He's been doing some good shit. I mean, he's controlled the coronavirus situation here in WA. You know, he stayed strong against his border policy. He really fought tooth and nail for that border policy. We beat Clive Palmer in the High Court.
Oh, that fat fuck.
Yeah. You know, he's tried really hard with JobKeeper and trying to keep everyone going. We were the only state that actually has a positive outcome from this whole coronavirus and actually increased in economic output. You know, everyone else just dropped. So, when's the next... next Prime Minister election will be for another 2 years, I think, at least.
Yeah.
Yeah, so... Mark, you got my vote. If you end up going running for Prime Minister, yeah, that's all I can say. Anyway, but 2021, man. What are you hoping to get out of 2021?
For me or for the pod? I think I'll talk about the podcast first. I mean, we've got a board over there and it's like the number of episodes we want, the number of subscribers, views, things like that. Even some social media goals and how many followers are we going to hit, which is all very well and good. I think there's a few goals. I think number one goal is to get some guests in here.
Mm-hmm.
And that'll involve getting a little bit more. Well, we're probably going to need another camera. We're probably going to need, well, we are not probably, we're going to need to get them a seat. We're going to get them a microphone, a stand.
We need to do these bloody buttons.
We need to work on those buttons. So a lot of those buttons are actually for sounds, but we haven't got around to it. I want to change our background. I want our background with all cool stuff that we, just a piece of us that we're going to put out there, and just high production value. I think it would be better if we have more guests. I know we're going to look into Zoom calls and things like that because it's probably going to be take a bit of time. But in terms of Western Australian guests, I think we can definitely do that. And we'll get that sorted. We'll get that sorted. But we'll probably need another camera to in order to organize that. And I would really enjoy doing that because it's just a higher production value.
It's just baby steps we need to get to.
Baby steps, because I believe it's been probably about 5 or so months we've been doing this. So
we've been really consistent. I mean, this is our 32nd episode.
33rd episode.
Something like that. 33 episodes in 4 months. That's almost consistent to 1 to 2 episodes per week for a while, you know? And we're just going to keep going, man. But I reckon the biggest goal overall for us is to just hit 100 episodes next year.
That would be very cool.
That would be a massive milestone for us just to hit 100 episodes. Because remember when we went to and did the For a Laugh podcast?
They mentioned that when you hit over 100, that's when you can start considering yourself a podcaster. You've got a little bit more experience underneath your belt.
Exactly. So it's like the first 100 hours.
Mm.
It's like we're now officially out of that beginner stage.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, there's like different stages of learning. We're out of that cognitive stage now.
I think that's good.
Yeah, I think that's good for us.
Well, we'll speak about your sole personal goals for 2021.
For me, I think I know I need to get my own place next year. But right now, the rental market is atrocious. Hopefully, I'll get my own apartment.
Yeah, it's a bit difficult right now.
I mean, I've got my own border home with 2021 goals. The first goal is get my own apartment or get my own place. That's all written down so far. Oh, maybe get a few more get a couple of stripes on my belt for BJJ. I got my first stripe this Monday. Nice. Yeah, I was pretty proud of that moment.
How long have you been doing Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu?
Couple months at least. But last week I did 5 sessions.
Oh yeah, nice.
And then I just did my last session for the year on Monday because I've been working all week. Had another Christmas party last night, so I rocked up to work this morning absolutely exhausted. So I've still been working flat out throughout the whole Christmas period, you know. What else? I haven't really actually given it much thought. So that's the thing.
Because you're a very goal-setting oriented person, so I question why you haven't done that yet.
I haven't done it yet because the year's not over. I don't really think you can achieve much in just a week.
There's a week, dude. There's a week left.
Yeah, but again, I haven't sat down because I've just been busy. I haven't actually taken the time to, you know, really, really have a strong think about it. Maybe I would obviously like to... pay off a huge chunk of the car, perhaps. Maybe get my business up a little bit, you know, get the PT hours back in. I don't know, do something stupid, get on TV.
Oh, really?
Get on TV. I don't know, maybe if I end up like applying for fucking Love Island or some shit.
Oh, please don't.
They'll be like, hi, Jack.
No, it'd be really funny, but it's, yeah, if you're gone for a long period of time, I'm just solo podcasting.
Nah, that's the thing. That's why I don't want to be gone for long. And if I just rock up on TV as like an extra for an episode.
It would be funny though. It would be funny to see you on Love Island. I could see you on Love Island. I've
actually been having people asking me that a bit lately.
Because you know some people from Love Island. And Bachelor and...
I know people from who went on The Bachelorette, yes. But Love Island, no. I don't even know how that's situated. I don't even know how the... one of those... That's TV show works. But the thing is, every time you watch that TV show, it's... very dramatized. I don't know, they feel like people are just clinging for fame, like, you know, just reaching, grasping for fame.
I think so, but it's similar to The Ultimate Fighter, which is a reality TV show where you're stuck in a house with some of them are dickheads, some of them are very nice, right?
Yeah.
It's bound to, and if some of them are talking shit behind your back, it's bound to
get
on your nerves when they probably do a little bit of whispering, tell you to do this and tell you that, but
But that's with like professional fighters, and they got a problem, they can duke it out. But with them, it's like, you did this, or you said this, or you stole my look. I'm just like, oh, I'm just losing brain cells over this. You know, I know. What I mean? But the Ultimate Fighter, actually, I hope it comes back next year. That would be great.
I think that would be really good. I mean, we put that up on our social media and on YouTube. We said, oh, you know, Marvin Vettori versus Darren Till would be a really good idea. But, I mean, that's probably tied with number one spot with Jorge and Colby. Ooh. For the Ultimate Fighter. I think that would be really, really good.
The amount of shit talk that would go on for that episode.
Yeah, because those guys have... They used to be really, really good friends. You know, Jorge and Colby used to always be like, yeah, I've got my best friend over there in my corner. It's interesting that it's now best friends become rivals now.
Yeah. Anyway, let's just switch this up a little bit. Let's talk a little bit about the MMA.
Someone that's trying to be a fighter and isn't a fighter.
I saw you look at it and then you rolled your eyes back. Yeah. Okay, let's talk about the big blonde elephant in the room.
Big head Jake Paul.
Big head Jake Paul. He put up a bit. Did you see his last Instagram post?
I've seen a few things where he started getting involved with like Dylan Danis's past relationships or something like that. Dylan Danis has apparently got a girl, a bartender, pregnant or something like that.
That's strange.
Sent him a DM saying, oh, you can get $500,000 to fight me in March. It's negotiable up to a million. We've put stuff out to Bisping and Ben Askren. He did a funny video where he's making fun. He's pretending to be Dana White. Like, I mean,
he pretends to be Dana White, Ben Askren, Nate Diaz, Michael Bisping, McGregor. Well, one, Bisping's got one eye, and he'll still fucking rip that kid in half.
One of the best conditioned fighters in the UFC ever.
And I don't get why Ben Askren's fucking. What business he wants with him.
I mean, Ben Askren put a bit of a troll video back at them and said, come on, let's fight. So there's been a few, I think there's been a few like fake sources saying Ben Askren versus Jake Paul's a boxing match in March or April or something like that. I think Dylan wanted to fight later 2021 because he got knee surgery.
Yeah.
He's trying to recover from that. It usually takes at least a year.
Yeah.
For you to recover. I know he got knee surgery in like June or July this year. So it makes it really difficult for him to train or anything like that. I know he's done a little bit of boxing for the last month or so. It gets weird because a lot of people are calling Dylan a pussy because he's not fighting, but I personally think he's literally got a fucked up knee. He just had surgery.
You know who I want to fight Jake Paul? Derek Lewis.
Oh, but that would never happen weight-wise, that would never happen, though.
There you go. Derek Lewis, the black beast, a national treasure who must be protected against...
Francis Ngannou, so...
Oh.
Well, because we know Yoel Romero literally went... It's funny that Jake's calling out people he can win against or have a huge payday and it's okay if he loses. Conor McGregor, okay if he loses, gets a huge payday. Dylan Danis, he feels it's going to be a competitive match because he's mainly Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu and he's had a knee injury. Ben Askren just got his dodgy hip fixed this year.
Yeah.
He's well out of his prime. He's late 30s now.
Yeah.
And then there's Michael Bisping, one eye, one of the best conditioned fighters.
And
but
he's had knee replacement surgery as well.
I think, is it both knees?
Yeah.
Both knees, he's had knee replacements, and he's 42. But he's not calling out Yoel Romero, who has previously called him out, and said, look, let's fight. And he said no.
Yeah.
And Yoel Romero is probably the closest to what Jake weighs, because Jake weighed in, I think, 186 or 189.
Yeah.
And Yoel Romero cuts weight to 185, so... It's funny that you're calling out all these people
and
that
Nate Diaz will fuck him up. Yeah, Nate Diaz will rip him in half. I can see that happening.
Because the people that Jake Paul's has been fighting, he's been fighting people much smaller than him, much shorter than him.
Yeah.
I know the guy he fought against, who was Nate Diaz's training partner, the Florida boy, he is much short. AJ Gagazam, I think I'm saying his name right, he's much shorter than Jake Paul, right? Uh-huh. And he was saying, oh, I beat him up in boxing, but when we also see footage of AJ putting Jake Paul in an armbar pretty quickly in the, second round of their MMA fight, or MMA spar. It's funny that he's calling out all these people. The only legitimate one I think would be like a legitimate one that people might be interested in is the Nate Diaz because Nate Diaz has a huge like army, the Diaz army behind him. It would be funny for Nate, who is a similar height to Jake Paul, to fight Jake. That would be funny.
Well, one thing we've got going on is straight off the bat, 2021 is going to be exciting because in a week, right, we have Calvin Kattar versus Max Holloway. We have, Hamzat Chimaev fighting Leon Edwards, and bloody Conor McGregor fighting Dustin Poirier.
COVID, don't touch it.
Don't touch it. COVID, don't touch it. Touch wood.
This isn't wood. This is probably brick, but you know.
We're fine. Okay. Cool. Is that wood?
That is not wood.
That's not wood. This wood.
I was like, what are you pointing at? I was like, oh, fuck.
That's what I mean. January ain't fucking around. Like, you know, 2020 ain't fucking around. No. But one more thing I wanted to talk about is Dana White. He put out the most crispiest piece of content I've ever seen.
He's talking shit against so many of the media, and he got their headshots and that. But I did want to say something. One of them was Ariel Helwani, and they'd took a little clip of him saying this shouldn't happen. That they actually showed the original video, and Ariel Helwani was saying, "Everyone in the media is saying da 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 da," which is the quote they took.
Yeah,
and then afterwards said, "Look, it's just on the UFC da da." Whatever. He wasn't saying anything against the UFC. He was just reporting that this is what the media is saying.
Yeah.
And Dana was like, I fucking hate Ariel Helwani. I'm taking that little shortened bit of the clip, and I'm going to put that in there. It looks like Helwani was talking shit about me.
Yeah, but I like it how Dana just went, fuck, had the balls to go, fuck you, to the media. And even put their faces up as well.
Like their headshots, and just went, these are all the dickheads that like talk shit about us.
Don't fuck with Dana, man.
Who was the one that he really hates? Is it Bob Arum? I think it was Bob Arum.
Yeah, something like that.
I think he's from the boxing industry.
Yeah, and
he
that's
was,
right.
He was saying how ridiculous it was. And then after the UFC successful, old Mr. Bob goes off.
Yeah.
And he goes and does his own events right after, where he was so brutally like critical of Dana. It just, everyone looked so hypocritical when they started to do it and be like, this is ridiculous.
One thing you got to give to him was he put on some of the best events ever. He didn't fight anybody, and he spent millions of dollars on COVID tests. He literally did all the rules when he had everything stacked against him. He was the only person to succeed. I'm saying this, man, but 2020 should make Dana Person of the Year.
Yeah, because
I know that's a little bit hypocritical of me, because we've got doctors and people working on the front lines, but in terms of Sports Person of the Year,
it gave a lot of people jobs.
There you go.
But my criticism of Dana's video is, at the very end, it said zero jobs lost, but they've announced that they're getting rid of 60 to 80 fighters. Okay. He said all these people are not losing their jobs. No one's losing their jobs in 2020, but he winked. It was like 2021 though. You guys are all losing your fucking jobs. Yeah. Like, that's why I just thought it was funny that it said zero jobs until 7 days after this video, and we're all going to cut 60 to 80 of these fighters.
And already Yuri Romero and Anthony Pettis have bit the bullet, and they're gone.
Anthony Pettis, he's looked out for free agency, and he's joined PFL.
Yeah, which stands for, again, Professional Fighting League.
Yes.
Yeah. So, it was interesting because he won his last fight, you know what I mean?
I thought moving down to lightweight.
Lightweight.
I thought so. He said he was going back to 155, he's got his weight sorted.
Yeah.
He started after these tons of weight cuts, he started having issues with ballooning out of shape and some mental stuff going on, but he did really well in his last fight, and I expected him to go down to 155, which what better promotion to finish your career on in the UFC, but he just went to PFL, so I'm like, there's some rising stars in PFL, I get it, but they must have given a really good contract, something that would have brought a lot of eyes, well, something that they think is worthwhile, because Anthony Pettis is going to bring a lot of eyes to the PFL.
There you go. All right, I think we should wrap it up there.
We should wrap it up.
That was the Christmas episode of the last
Merry Christmas, everyone.
We love you all. Say thank you so much. It's been a hell of a past 4 months. 2021 is going to be a big year for us. And we cannot thank you enough for your support.
So yeah, appreciate that, guys. Thank you very much. Make sure you subscribe.
Love you all.
Peace. Bye.
Merry Christmas.